You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. On this podcast, we focus on answering listener questions. And if you have a question for a future episode, I'll let you know how you can submit that once we get to the end. This is episode 13 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. We're back after missing our previously scheduled episode a couple weeks ago. I admit I just had too many things going on and was not able to get to recording an episode 2 weeks ago. So we're back here today recording a new episode of the podcast. I also wanted to mention that since that last episode that was released, we've hit a milestone on Plain Bible Teaching. We've started the 16th year of the Plain Bible Teaching website. And so if you have been following along through the years, whether it's just through the podcast or through the articles or the newsletters or however you keep up with it, I want to thank you for following along and hope that you've benefited from the material published on Plain Bible Teaching, and I hope that you will continue to benefit from that. I also, related to that, wanted to ask you, if you have a minute or two, to go to the Plain Bible Teaching website. You can go to the show notes of this episode, and there will be a link to a reader survey where I'm looking for feedback from those who follow along with Plain Bible Teaching, those who read or listen to the content. Just try to get feedback to see how I can continue to improve the website. I do this once a year, and so if you have a minute or two, won't take longer than that, to fill out that survey, I would greatly appreciate that. Here in this episode, we're going to be talking about a question that was submitted by the or through the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast question submission form. And it's a question about a topic that has generated a lot of controversy at different points of time, and some people have very strong opinions about it. And what we're going to be talking about is this question: what about the head covering? Now, if you're not familiar with the head covering, then just to get you up to speed about what we're talking about, this is based upon what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the first 16 verses. And really, that is the only place in the New Testament that this is talked about. And yet, it is a large controversy among a lot of brethren about what the meaning of this is. But it has generated controversy among brethren through the years, and is basically about whether or in what way a woman is to have her head covered during certain periods of worship. And so that's what we're going to be talking about in our episode. So to start with, I want to read at least part of this passage, really get to the main idea of this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 through 6. As I said, it's the first 16 verses of this chapter that really deal with this whole issue. But to start with, I want to read verses 3 through 6. Paul says, "But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. Every man who has something on his head while praying or prophesying disgraces his head. But every woman who has her head uncovered while praying or prophesying disgraces her head. For she is one and the same as the woman whose head is shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, let her also have her hair cut off. But if it is disgraceful for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, let her cover her head." So that's basically where the controversy is over these verses and what Paul is talking about here. So the questions that come up about the head covering are this: is the head covering that he talked about there in that passage an artificial covering, something that she would wear on her head, or is the covering referring to her hair? Is that the covering that he's talking about? Is this just a matter of culture that Paul wrote this to the brethren in Corinth? And as I said, it was not mentioned anywhere else in the New Testament, in no other letters to any other church in any other place. And so that leads to the question then, well, is this a matter of culture? Or does this apply to all Christian women of all time. And so that's what we need to try to figure out as we try to understand this passage. And so as we break down this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we want to look at the main points of how Paul discusses this. The first point that he makes is a point about how we need to hold to the traditions. Now, when we think about traditions, and for some people, the word tradition or traditional has a negative connotation, especially when it comes to religion. And there's a reason for that. There are some traditions that are bad and some traditions that we're not to hold on to, but there are other traditions that we are to hold on to. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, right before those verses that we just read, he said, "Hold firmly to the traditions just as I delivered them to you." So clearly not all traditions are wrong. So what traditions was he talking about here? Well, what were they to hold to? They were not to hold to human traditions or commandments. Jesus condemned these over in Matthew chapter 15, where he says in that passage, as he was discussing with the Pharisees, as they questioned Jesus and why his disciples didn't wash hands while they were eating, Jesus said in Matthew 15 and verse 6 that they were saying, regarding the command to honor father and mother, they were saying, well, he's not to honor his father or mother. And by this, you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. They had taken their tradition that they could take some money and dedicate it to God. And because of that, well, they didn't have any obligation then to take care of their parents. Jesus said, you have invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Now, was it right? Was it good for them to take money aside and dedicate it to God? Well, sure it is. There are lots of things that can be good and lawful, but that doesn't mean that everything is something that ought to be done, because by doing something or by doing something instead of something else, which is what they were doing, they were invalidating the word of God. Paul wrote to the brethren in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 23 that things are to be first lawful before they can be labeled as expedient. We need to look at what God wants us to do before we decide what we are at liberty to do. And so they had a tradition. The Pharisees had this tradition. And Jesus said that in vain you worship me, teaching his doctrines, the precepts of men, in Matthew 15 and verse 9, a little bit later in that passage that we looked at just a minute ago. But not human traditions and commandments. Those are not the traditions that they were to hold to. The traditions that they were to hold to are those ones that Paul says were delivered by him. They were handed down by him. And Paul wrote about this to another congregation, the church over in Thessalonica, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. He said, "So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us." They were to hold to the traditions. And if they didn't, or if some among them didn't hold to those traditions, well, then they were not to be accepted. He said in chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians, in verse 6, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you receive from us." So if they did not follow the traditions that were handed down by the apostles, again, not human opinion, not man-made traditions, but those that were handed down by the apostles, then they were not to associate with them. Those that came from the apostles, those had to be kept. But the ones that were handed down by the apostles were not based upon their opinions, was not the apostles' best judgment, but they were revealed to them from above. Paul would tell the brethren in Corinth, a few chapters after what we're looking at here with the head covering question, in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37, he said, "The things that I write to you are the Lord's commandment." So he was writing from God, not, well, this is what I think, or this is what some of the apostles got together and decided. This is from the Lord. These are the things you are to hold to. Hold to these traditions. Now, what about the head covering? The head covering is not part of that apostolic tradition. How do we know that? Well, verse 3, he says, but, after he says, hold to the traditions, he says, but, I want you to understand, and then goes on and talks about this. He was introducing a new thought, a new subject. You hold to the traditions, but remember this, as you're holding to the traditions, let me answer this question over here. He says in verse 16 of this passage that we have no such custom. The word that is translated custom is defined as intercourse or custom or being used to a thing or accustomed to it in Thayer's lexicon. That's how he defines the term. And the first definition, when you hear that, it might have caught you off guard that was one of the definitions for that. But the Bible regularly uses the term know to describe sexual relations. You have in the beginning, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. Cain knew his wife, and she conceived, and so on, that you have this type of language that when someone is intimately familiar with someone, that's referring to sexual relations. That is how babies are conceived and how reproduction happens. So that's kind of the idea here, where you have this, where the concept of being accustomed or acquainted with something that is so familiar to everyone. And Paul says here that the churches have no such custom. This head covering question that you have in Corinth is not a question that other brethren are asking about. This is not something that other brethren are familiar with, that the church in Thessalonica or the churches in Galatia or wherever they are, they don't have this practice. They don't have this question about whether a woman should be covered or what type of covering she ought to have. We have no such custom. The head covering was not used in every church because it was familiar to Corinth and not to the other churches. Now, this is important because Paul told the brethren in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17 that the things that he taught everywhere in every church, meaning the things that constituted the apostles' doctrine, what came down from above, he taught everywhere in every church. But yet, this question about the head coverings, there's no such custom in these other churches. No one is familiar with this. No one practices this. No one else has questions about this. And so this was something that was unique to Corinth. Because there is no such established custom, that this is not part of apostolic tradition that was handed down from above, this issue should not cause contention among brethren. Paul said over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 16, he says that if anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no other practice or no such custom, nor have the churches of God. This is not something that is established for every church, where every church has this common doctrine. It's a matter of opinion. And Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 14 about matters of opinion and how they needed to be handled, is that you accept one another. Someone believes they should regard every day alike, and someone believes they should regard one day above another. Accept one another. Someone believes they can eat all things, and someone else says they can eat only vegetables. Accept one another. Someone believes they ought to wear a head covering, and someone else believes they shouldn't. Accept one another. This should not be something that causes contention and causes division in the church. But what was this head covering? What is Paul discussing here that where they had this question about the head covering? Well, we read in verses 4 through 6 that a woman would have this on her head. This has something on her head. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4, every man who has something on his head while praying or prophesying disgraces his head. But every woman who has her head uncovered while praying or prophesying disgraces her head. She is one and the same as a woman whose head is shaved. Now, it's important to say that to notice there that her head could be shaved is the same thing as if her head is uncovered. So whatever this covering was, it's distinguished from her hair. We're going to look in just a minute about how hair is a covering, but it wasn't the covering. This was an artificial covering, something that she wore on her head. The men were not to wear this, but the women were wearing this, and Paul gave instructions about this here as he wrote to the church at Corinth. It is distinguished from the hair. It was an artificial covering. But Paul said later in this chapter that her hair was given as a covering. Verses 14 and 15, it says, "Does not even nature itself teach that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering." So you have her hair is a covering. But it's important, as we saw there in verses 4 and 5, it is not the covering. So whatever this is here, and some people have tried to just dismiss this passage by saying, well, the hair is the covering. No, Paul doesn't make the point that the hair is the covering. Hair can cover one's head, but it is not the covering that he was talking about earlier in this chapter. But what was the purpose of the covering? This is important for us to understand that why was this a question? Why did Paul give the instructions that he did here about the women in Corinth wearing some type of covering on their head? Well, notice in verses 7 through 10, "For a man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For man does not originate from the woman, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. Therefore, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels." Few reasons that are given here as to why she was to wear a covering on her head. One is to give glory to one's head. That a man was not to have his head covered, but a woman was to have her head covered. Man would disgrace his head, which was Christ, as we see in verse 3. We read that at the very beginning, by having his head covered while praying or prophesying. On the other hand, the woman, who is the glory of man, was to cover her head. And this is another reminder in the scriptures of the distinction between men and women, something that is continuing or is needing to be emphasized on a continual basis today because of confusion that exists in our society. There is a distinction between men and women. So this was a sign of that. Second thing, he said there in verse 8 that it was worn to distinguish man and woman because of the order of creation. Man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. He's not talking about childbirth there, because in childbirth, you have the mother who gives birth to a child. Half of the time, it's to a son who's going to grow up to be a man. So that man would originate from woman. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about creation, where you have Adam who was created, and then from him, the rib that was taken from him, God formed a woman. And so man did not originate from woman, but woman from man. Woman is the glory of man because she came from him in the beginning, as talked about in Genesis chapter 2. Third reason was to distinguish man and woman because they had different roles. They had different responsibilities. In verse 9, it says, "Indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but the woman for the man's sake." She was created, Genesis 2:18, as the helper suitable for him. And wives continue in this role that they submit to their husbands. The husband is the head of the wife. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about this, also 1 Peter chapter 3. And then a fourth reason why the covering was to be worn is because it is a symbol of authority. It says, "Therefore, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels," there in verse 10. The distinct roles that God gave to men and women were not about women being inferior to men. Instead, they were given because of the need to have a hierarchy of authority. Earlier in this chapter, you have said that God is over Christ. It doesn't mean that Jesus Christ is inferior to God the Father. Jesus proclaimed while he was on the earth that he and the Father were one, that they had an equality, and that's why he was persecuted many times by the Jews, was because He made it clear that he was equal with the Father. And man and woman are one in Christ, as Galatians 3:28 says, but man was made the head over the woman. Again, doesn't mean that woman is inferior to man, just as it doesn't mean that Jesus Christ was inferior to the Father, but they had different roles. Jesus submitted to the Father's will as he prayed in the garden before the cross, it is not my will, but yours be done. In the same way, the woman submits to the man, and that head covering was a symbol of this submission to that headship. Well, then an important question to ask, and this is where I think there's a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of confusion. Where was the head covering to be worn? Women who wear the head covering among brethren today typically do so during the regular worship assembly of the church. And it is perfectly fine for a woman to do that. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing inappropriate about that. But that's not what this passage is talking about. That's not where the women in Corinth were wearing these head coverings. They were wearing this on a different occasion. So not what we see now, when we see women wear a head covering, where they wear it during the worship assembly, where the whole church is gathered together, that's not when the women in Corinth were wearing it. How do we know? Because that's usually what people, how they apply this passage, when they say that, well, this is for all women, and women today need to wear the head covering. They always apply it to the worship assembly, where the local congregation, all of them, men and women, are all gathered together, say, well, that's where she's to wear this. That's not what Paul was talking about here. The head covering discussed in this passage was going to be worn at a time where a woman could rightfully pray and prophesy, not be present when prayers are offered and hear the men prophesying, but when they could pray or prophesy. Notice again, verse 5. It says, every woman who has her head covered while praying or prophesying disgraces her head, for she is one and the same as a woman whose head is shaved. This would not have been during the regular worship assembly of the church. We know this because of what Paul would say a few chapters later in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 34, where he said that the women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to subject themselves just as the law also says. That chapter is not only about the assembly, but it's about the assembly when spiritual gifts would be used and the gifts of prophecy would be used. She was not to participate in a leadership role or a teaching role in prophesying, not during the regular assembly. Now, there were women in the first century who had the miraculous gifts of prophecy. Obviously, we see here from verse 5 that we read that a woman could be praying or prophesying. You have Philip and his daughters who were able to prophesy in Acts 21 and verse 9. But that did not permit them to use that gift in the assembly. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 32 that the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That if a woman had the gift of prophecy, she would be able to exercise control, self-control, and not blurt out this prophecy during the assembly because that was not the proper time to do it. That one who receives a prophecy was able to keep from revealing it until a time when it was appropriate to do so. So when would these women in Corinth pray or prophesy if they couldn't do that, rightfully do that, in the regular assembly of the church? When would they do that? Well, it would have to be during some gathering for either worship or Bible study and instruction in which only women were present. And during those types of gatherings, Paul, as he explained in this passage, they were to have their head covered. Because even with no men present, it was important that they had this reminder. Remember what we talked about, the purpose of the head covering. That they had this reminder of the need for submission, that they were not to think that they could be independent of man, as verse 11 of this chapter says. Even with women-only Bible studies or periods of worship, they needed to remember that the regular assemblies were still important. They needed to remember that they couldn't just do whatever they wanted to on their own and not have anything to do with the men of the congregation. They needed that reminder. Even though they could not pray or prophesy in the assembly, the general assembly of the church, they had the opportunity at those times to listen, to receive instruction, as 1 Timothy 2:11 says. But that's not what 1 Corinthians 11, the first part of this chapter, this question about the head covering, that's not the type of gathering that's being talked about there. Again, it's fine for a woman to wear a covering during that assembly period. But the women in Corinth, they were instructed that when you're praying or prophesying, which would necessarily be sometime outside of the assembly, they were to have that covering on their head. So then as we conclude this, brethren have differing views on the head covering. And that's a reality, that there are people who have other views. There are people who disagree, and maybe you're listening to this or watching the video, maybe you disagree with something I've said, maybe everything that I've said. But Paul's point here, that regardless of whether we have a complete agreement on this question, it should not be a source of contention. It should not be something that causes division. It should not be made into a test of fellowship, that if a woman refuses or does not wear a covering on her head, it should not lead someone to conclude, well, she must not be a faithful Christian. Or if someone is wearing a head covering, we shouldn't conclude, well, that person misunderstands this passage, or they can't possibly be right with God. That we're not the judge of that. We are to not make this a test of fellowship. We should not allow this type of question to jeopardize the unity of God's people who ought to be working and worshiping together in the local church. Local churches should be made up of people who potentially have different opinions on this question, who have different practices and different customs. Some women might wear this, some women might not. And we should all be able to assemble together. We should all be able to worship together and work together. It should not cause division. And so I hope that as we've talked about this, that the discussion has been helpful. I encourage you to go on your own and read through those and study through those verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. We've kind of done a quick overview of it here. But look at those verses and remember that that's the only place you'll go in the New Testament that talks about this head covering. It talks about what it is. And learn about it. Study about it. But again, don't allow this to cause division. If anyone wants to be contentious, Paul says, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. We should be able to continue to work and worship together regardless of how this may be applied differently by brethren in different places. So thank you for listening to the podcast here today. If you'd like to submit a question for a future episode, there are a few ways you can do that. One, you can fill out the podcast question submission form. There'll be a link in the show notes at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast, and you can submit your question there. You can also send a message to the Plain Bible Teaching Facebook page, or if you use Twitter, you can tweet your question at Plain Bible Teach on Twitter and get your question in that way. I hope to have like I said, 2 weeks ago we were supposed to have an episode. I wasn't able to do that. I hope to be back on a more regular schedule now. So hopefully the next episode will be in 2 weeks. But whenever it is, I hope that you'll be back. I hope we'll be able to talk again. And hopefully the episodes and the content and the questions we'll be trying to answer from the scriptures, hope that will be helpful. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you again.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.